you actually have to turn them on. So, I think we're good to go now. He's pivotal to Hebrew history. And, you know, when we go back to the Genesis account, we see a lot of information about Moses. From a certain standpoint, the nation of Israel starts with Moses. You know, not exactly, but from one perspective. You know, it's him leading the nation out. They're established as a nation. Yes, they're a nation in captivity, but, you know, the ball gets rolling again. God leads them out of Egypt under the lead of Moses, and they then, you know, solidify as a nation. They have a few, you know, speed bumps along the road, but they eventually get there. So we're going to pick up in verse 23 in just a minute. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for your Son, for his sacrifice, for his teachings, for the mercy and grace that you bestow upon us. We are just so thankful. We're thankful for this time we have tonight that we can open up your word, study some more from the book of Hebrews and what you instructed the Jewish Christians of that day and how we can apply that to our lives today. We're just so thankful and pray that you would bless our study this evening. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Yeah, and we'll stop there at 29. That's basically the pieces of Moses. And I like how the writer here in just those few verses, just kind of summarized whole chapters in Genesis, right? The whole account of Moses just kind of summarized there and then is put forward as an example of faith, an example of a person who has this deep, abiding, active faith. What do you think of, in verse 23, some versions say, because they saw he was the New King James says, beautiful child. Some versions have a different word. Proper. I read another was good, that he was a good child. Okay. Couple of different words there. It's kind of a different meaning to it. What do you think the writer is meaning by that? Good, beautiful, proper. Okay. So he'd be good and strong and healthy. Okay. Be one way to look at that. What would be another way to look at that? Beautiful. Proper, good. Yeah, they didn't find him, so he must not have cried much. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Good baby. Yeah, go ahead, Dale. Right, the king's command. Yeah, a Pharaoh. And I think that's what the writer's driving at. You can take this word proper or good or beautiful. The connotation to it in the original language has the emphasis of well-pleasing. So? Right, no ordinary child. basically the thrust of this language is that they saw that their son was going to be and was well-pleasing to God. Okay? He stood out. He was different. There was something about this child that they knew he would be well-pleasing to God. Okay? Go ahead, John. Right.
Which time Moses was born, was exceeding there, and he was nourished up in his father's house for 3 months, so he had been there for 3 months being well fed.
Right.
And so that might give a little
slant
of why he looked really healthy.
Look healthy, be well, you know, all of this, and that you know, they knew there was something special about this child. They just knew that. Yeah, Cliff.
But do you think that was unique to just them? I mean, I don't know too many mothers who would just say, here you go, King, kill my child.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I know that's the law, so
right.
Here you go.
Well, and when they, you know, if you go back and look at the account of Genesis, you know, the midwives refused, the midwives did this, they're not going to just say, oh yeah, here's my baby, go ahead and kill it. No. But, so yeah, I don't think it was atypical there, but there was something that made him stand out as even more so that they even went above, it sounds like they went above what other mothers were doing.
Yeah, I really think it was their faith in God that made all the difference. Figuring out to keep him hidden,
right,
and then figuring out a way to
3 months,
you know, put him in a basket, a little ark, and send it to the Egyptian,
right, down the river.
I mean, all those different things that took place all had to be by faith. God would take care of the child.
Yeah, it's very interesting that this section in Hebrews is talking about the faith of Moses, but it starts with the faith of his parents. I think that's actually fairly significant. Okay? You know? Right. You get a strong person of faith from the parents being strong people of faith. I think that's significant. There's a reason this is all about Moses, but the very first thing he talks about really is the faith of the parents. And the fact, tying into that, Moses was saved from death, which is one of our criteria we talked about 3 weeks ago, by an act of faith. They had their faith in God that this child needs to live, so they hid him for 3 months, and then they did all these other things. Okay? An act of faith preserved him from death. Yeah, Jerry.
I was saying not just these 3 months, but the events of the story turns out that the mother actually gets...
Right.
Grows up with a knowledge of the Hebrews.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't have gotten this if he hadn't had her.
Right. When you think about his knowledge of his true people, which comes up later, okay, in various forms, yeah, his mother was the one that taught him all of that, because it had to have been. It's not really recorded, but it had to have been. Because he's now, after this, in Pharaoh's household. He is a part of the royalty, period. So they wouldn't talk about the Hebrews other than slaves, right? So he learned it from his mother. And again, God working through all of this to make sure that Moses was set there so that he could lead the people out under the direction of God. So... But he was well-pleasing, and he was saved from death by an act of faith. Okay, by an act of faith. So there's some other interesting things to talk about here, too. So in 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so there's some information we're given here again in Hebrews that isn't specifically in the text back in Genesis. But I find this pretty interesting. When you talk about Moses, Moses made a very specific decision to cut ties with the family that raised him and associate with the people of the promise. Okay? He's a big guy in the royalty of Egypt. And he makes a very specific decision, right? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? That's a specific decision. I am not going to do this. I am going to do this. Okay? So he made a decision to go that route. It wasn't just chance or, you know, something like that. Yes, I'm, you know, God's working in his life and God's there, you know, God's providence and all of those things. Yes. But he, as a human, makes a specific decision to follow the people of the promise and not be accounted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. So that goes back to what Jerry was pointing out, that throughout his growing up and becoming of age, he's learning of the people. He's learning of the Israelites. I mean, otherwise, how would he know any of that? Pharaoh's not going to talk about it because he's just got slaves. He's not going to teach his daughter's son Hebrew. You know, that's not going to happen. Okay? So he makes a very specific decision to follow after that. He's demonstrating his faith in God. Okay? He was looking at a God who keeps his promises, no matter how far off the fulfillment of that promise is going to be. He sees that, he understands that, so he must have then understood about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, he understood the history of his people. And he makes a very specific decision, an act of faith. I mean, you think about that. Okay? He's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's pretty high up. Right? And he just says, no, I'm going to be a slave. Okay? Yeah. And now he's choosing to be a slave. I mean, what rational person wants to do that from a world's logical perspective? But from God's logical perspective, yes, that is what needed to occur. He needed to leave Egypt and become one with his people. So he makes a very specific decision to do that. Because he's got, again, what we've talked about the last 2 weeks, he has a vision of something far off, okay? Of the promise, of the fulfillment of the promise. He's seeing something that is far in the future, and he is having faith in God that that is going to occur. Thoughts? Comments? Yeah, Richard.
Yeah, I'd like to put in a good word for faith. When it says that esteeming the virtue of Christ has greater riches, says, well, what would it be up to verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, think about that for a minute. Not afraid. He's the authority over here of all these things.
Yeah, he got a few swords on their side.
They certainly felt at least a healthy respect, but they reverenced God's word.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Right. Right. Yeah. Do you fear him who can take away your soul, or fear the guy that can take away your body? Exactly. And that's why we're looking at Hebrews. That's why we're looking at these examples of faith. That's why we're looking at this, because God has told us what we need to be doing. He has told us who we are to be, how we are to be, and what we should be doing. We need to have the faith like these examples of people in history have, because they had that faith and saw that vision afar off. And one of the criteria of this discussion is, had faith to a complete understanding that God will fulfill His promise. He has promised us heaven. Our part is to follow Him. Our part is to do what He's told us to do. And yes, that will be going against our world. That'll be going against our society. That's what Moses did. He went against his society, his family, made a very specific decision to be a part of his Israelite people. You know, so yeah, we need to be cognizant of that. Yeah. Jerry? I'm not at verse 27 yet. Go ahead. Okay, I'm just giving you a hard time. So very specific decision. So verse 25, he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Okay? So Moses chooses to be mistreated with his people. He chooses to be accounted as one of the slaves. Okay? Remember, if you go back to Genesis 43 and you go back to Genesis 46, there's two passages in there, 43:32 and 46:34, which talk about how the Egyptians viewed the Hebrews. They despised the Hebrews. They were herdsmen, and the Egyptians despised that and the people. That's why they're slaves. So he chooses that. Now, what is the author of Hebrews equating life as Egyptian with? Okay? What is the author saying life as an Egyptian equals what? Sin. Interesting. Okay? The writer is saying that Moses' life in that household of Pharaoh and being a part of the Egyptian culture is sin. That's what he's equating it to, okay? And it's interesting. Well, I mean, think about it. You had a materialistic culture, right? Nothing about anything except war and gold and this and money and materialism, and what do they have? Polytheistic idolaters. That's a tough one. Polytheistic, many gods. Okay? We have that today. Just a little bit different. Pharaoh was considered a god. Okay? They mistreated the Hebrews. They ordered the killing of the Hebrew babies. Right. So, this whole culture is equated with sin. Okay? It's all about, in essence, sin. So he, remember, makes a specific decision to leave that culture and follow the people of promise. Okay? He understands the difference between these two cultures, if you will. Between following God or following sin. And he understands that, and he got that, and he removed himself from that. And I think that's pretty powerful for us today too. Okay, we don't have a society. We have a society that's not very much different than theirs, in a lot of respects. Okay, and that's not chariots and swords and golden idols. But we got all kinds of other stuff that takes the place of that, don't we? Okay? You know, our society's not that much different. So, and we see that teaching of Jesus to us, right? You're not of the world anymore. You're a Christian. You're not a part of the world anymore. You are moved from the world into the kingdom. You're, you know, all the things we talk about in all those arenas and areas, that's the same as what Moses did. And we just need to have that same strong, active faith to remove yourself from a society of sin and place yourself, in essence, with a society following God, which is being a part of the kingdom, being a part of Christ's kingdom. So, other thoughts, Jen? Yeah. That which he earlier would have, if he was part of that culture, despised. If you think about the response of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jews in Christ's time, if Jesus had come as a conquering king, would they have wanted to kill him? You know, I suppose not, because that would be what they wanted. They wanted to be a great nation. They wanted to overthrow the Romans. They wanted somebody to be a conquering king. Well, he wasn't. He was a humble servant who died for his people and is our king. Vision was too short. Moses had a vision afar off. Okay? Abraham had a vision afar off. Okay? That's one of the things that the writer's getting to us. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward, that far off vision. Okay, he rejected all of that wealth. I mean, think about the wealth of Egypt at its height. I mean, we're seeing the pieces of it in our day when we find tombs and we find the relics and we find all this stuff and we have all the ruins and we can now recreate them and show them what they would have looked like in their glory. And you think about all of that, you know. He had it all. Yep. Yep. He gave that all up. Okay? Gave it all up. Because he looked for a different reward. Not a reward from that society that he was immersed in. He looked for that reward from God's people, God's kingdom, God. And so he looked for a different reward. Just the same as we do, right? We have a reward we're looking at. We have a reward we're striving to live up to. We are promised that reward. We have faith in God's promise that he will fulfill that promise, and we will be given that. We need to do what he asks us to do. And that's what Moses is doing. We'll talk about that in a second. Hold that thought. I want to talk about that in a second. What else? Any other thoughts? I'm getting closer to 29. 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, let's talk about that for a few minutes. Moses' fear, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why would he fear the king? Or Pharaoh. Why would he be afraid of Pharaoh? Stood up against him, saw everything. Right. My daughter doesn't have a child, and today she has a child. Okay, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I believe so too. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He has that far-off view. He believes the teachings of his parents, his true parents, and he chooses to associate with that and follow that life. Yeah. Great faith. Moses, if you think about it, Moses fled from the king twice. Right? Think about it. The first time was what? Right, he kills one of the Egyptians and he departs. And then he's a shepherd for 40 years. But then he comes back and then he leaves again. Okay. Now the first time, you could say maybe he was afraid or could have been afraid of the wrath of Pharaoh because he was given everything and he throws it away. Okay. Now if I were the king, I'd probably be a little upset about that. I have given you everything. You're not even really my daughter's son. And you threw it away and you want to go with the Hebrews? Right. To begin with, they were afraid of him. Right. They were afraid of him too. So he had to leave, in essence, prove himself, you could say, and then come back. And then he leaves again and he could be afraid of Pharaoh's army coming after them, which is exactly what does happen. But what he says here in Hebrews is, by faith he forsook Egypt, and he didn't fear the wrath of the king. Okay? Well, why wouldn't you fear the wrath of the king? Because you have faith in God. Okay? I don't know how God will deliver us from Pharaoh, but he will. You know, yeah, okay, he'll probably come after us with the army, but we're going to go do this because this is what God wants, and God's going to take care of us. However he's going to do that. You know? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he kind of balked at it, didn't he? But he understood what he was supposed to do. At the end of verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay? Seeing the unseen. Okay. Chapter 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. What is Moses? He's looking at that which is invisible. Can't see God. Well, actually, he did see the form of God, but, you know, God, he's invisible. He endured. He followed. He did everything that God asked of him to do. Okay? Confidence in the things not seen. Okay? He's fixing his eye on the object of faith, God, and the promises of God, and that God always fulfills his promises. Always fulfills his promises. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Very interesting piece there, huh? Think about everything involved in the Passover. Think about everything involved in the saving of the firstborn and the destruction of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Okay? To human logic, how does putting blood on my door keep me from dying? Right? From human logic. How does that equate? How does that work? Okay? I slay an animal. I take its blood and I put it on the doorpost and the lintel of my door, and that's going to keep me alive. Huh? Doesn't make any sense at all, does it? From a human perspective. Right, from our human logic. Doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Not really. Okay? So let me ask you this. A man dies on a cross and sheds his blood, and I'm saved. Does that make any sense? Not from a human point of logic. But from God's logic, it is completely and totally exactly what he wanted. Now, what's the component? Moses' faith, my faith. Right, exactly. It's faith. It's all about faith. Every step of the way. Jen? Yep. Take it into baptism. Okay? How does me being immersed in water, I'm not even using any soap, I'm not even getting clean, I'm just getting wet. What does that do anything? Well, I am getting clean. It's obedience, it's faith, it's doing what God says to do. Okay? I'm sure in my mind, my mind and my supposition, God tells Moses, I want you to do this for the Passover so you can remember this night. And I want you to do this and your people will be saved. I can picture in my mind Moses going, huh, okay. People, this is what we're going to do. Okay? I could picture a hesitation there, a kind of like, I don't get it, but this is what God said, and this is what we're going to do. There's the faith. Okay? Going beyond human logic, because it doesn't make sense to us, and doing exactly what God says. Okay? And quite often, we run into that today, don't we? It doesn't make sense to us. You do what God said, because it makes sense to Him. All right, Jeff, and then Serena, and anybody else. I can't do it. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Firstborn. Yeah. What I'm telling you to do, you're going to die. Yeah. Yeah. And he did, you're absolutely right, he did spend a lot of time, other than what we're seeing in Hebrews, you go back to the Genesis accounts in the chapters, and you do see all of these different places where God is specifically reinforcing his faith. I mean, he is specifically building and reinforcing his faith, okay? If I see, you know, the form, in essence, of God in the burning bush, that has got to do something for your faith. If it doesn't, we got a serious problem. Okay? So, every step of the way, yeah, he was always building his faith until, you know, something he says to do, then I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Isn't that exactly what we talked about with Abraham and Isaac? Okay? He didn't understand. You promised me Isaac, and you gave him to me. Yay. You said he's going to be the founder of the nation. Yay. Now you want me to kill him. I don't understand. But I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. Yeah. Serena? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Exactly. Right. All these things, yes, were punishments on the Egyptians, but they were faith builders. Yeah. And that's actually a very interesting point, because when you get to verse 29, we get there for Jerry a minute, then you go to verse 30, he doesn't talk about the wanderings, he doesn't talk about any of the problems in Hebrews, he just skips it. He says, yeah, that happened. No, we're talking about faith here, not the lack of faith, which they exhibited almost immediately after leaving Egypt. And he goes straight to Jericho when they're entering in. I think that's interesting that he just drops that, you know. So, they keep the Passover, the firstborn, faith in... So, they had faith and belief that the firstborn were to die as God had said, okay? So, the first thing they had to do is they had to have faith and belief that God said they're going to die, they're going to die, okay? They had to have faith and belief that putting the Paschal Lamb blood on the doorpost would save them from that death, because that's what God had said. Okay? No logical connection, might seem strange, required their faith in God to do that action, and then they would live. Okay? Jesus dies at the Passover, we have faith, shedding of blood, all of that. Okay? Verse 29, I do want to get there before that second bell rings. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Okay? So Israel had to have faith. Think about it. Okay? This wind comes up, right? Parts the sea. What is your usual interaction with wind? Well, that, if it's too strong. But if you feel the wind, what happens? Feel the wind, and then you don't feel the wind. It comes and goes, right? And you don't see it, but it comes and goes, right? Wind comes and goes. Here we have a great wind. They had to have faith that the wind would stay there, that it wouldn't just go away. Okay? Think about that. You've got, what's the estimate? Like a million people? Right? Isn't that the basic kind of estimate? You got like about a million people that have to cross the Red Sea. That didn't happen in 5 minutes. No, that did not happen in 5 minutes. That probably took all day. Yeah. Okay, now it wasn't a huge distance. It wasn't like crossing the Pacific or something like that. That's what we're talking about. But it still didn't take 5 minutes. So what is the usual interaction that you have with wind? It comes and it goes. So they had to have faith that God's power in this wind would stay there. And they would cross over. And then they would be on the other side. It's kind of interesting to me. It really is. The sustaining of the walls of the water by the wind was a faith builder. Okay? Because they had to have faith that God was going to keep that wind going to keep the walls of water at bay so they could cross through, which they did. Yeah. They still didn't truly get it yet. Yeah, exactly. And we see that just right after that, because the people go into sin. Yeah, everything to cross over. I mean, they looted Egypt. It didn't take 5 minutes to cross over, you know. So, and then on dry land. And, of course, we can keep talking about the comparison of that crossing with baptism and those other pieces, which are all completely true and valid. But the key here is the faith, okay? Moses is placed here in this chapter specifically talking to the Jewish Christians. And remember what the theme is. Don't leave your faith. And here's an example of somebody who didn't leave his faith. And he's talking about Moses, just like all the other individuals he's talked about in their history. So, don't leave your faith. Okay, so we want to pick up with Jericho next week. I'm pretty sure that was two bells, yes? So my time is over for tonight. So let's pick up in, that brings us down to verse 30. If I didn't catch your comment, Jerry, sorry, I missed it. I was giving you a hard time. But anyway, we can pick it up next week.